This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown and Ken Coleman.
Alongside Chris Brown, I am Ken Coleman. Welcome to the second edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. We have a fantastic conversation coming up for you today. Our feature is with Pastor Craig Rochelle. And really, I think, Chris, one of the finest leaders in America. So that's big fun. His latest book is From This Day Forward. So make sure you check that out. Now, you can follow him on Twitter at Craig Groeschel. And we want to mention, Chris, that throughout this podcast, any resources that we mention, as well as any resources mentioned in our first podcast, all those resources available, links to those resources at stewardshipcentral.org. That's stewardshipcentral.org. That site is literally created for you leaders out there. But Chris, it's good to see you. You've been literally gallivanting all across America.
Well, I just got back from Atlanta and had a great time at Mountain Lake Church. Yeah, Cumming, Georgia. And we talked a lot about financial discipleship, how this looks, and gave them some tools and gave them some resources and some encouragement. And a lot of great churches. 40 churches were there, represented like 25,000 people. So we're excited to really move the needle when it comes to momentum for churches.
Oh, there you go.
And for leaders who are wanting to know a little bit more information about momentum, you can go to stewardshipcentral.org. There's a solutions tab there in the top right-hand corner. So check it out. It's been an incredible month, you know. I was on Fox and Friends, and here's the deal. There's this study that came out. 7.2 million Americans are currently cheating on their spouse when it comes to finances. And so,
okay, hold on, because I want to make sure I get this. 7.2 million people not cheating in an affair, but they're cheating by lying with their finances.
And here's the term,
that's
Ken.
Like it's, the separate bank accounts and all that nonsense.
Yeah, financial infidelity is
what they're calling it.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's
got, boy,
you're talking about money and relationships, and so we dove into that on several different channels and several different affiliates. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, folks, I want to make sure you stay in touch with Chris on Twitter. The guy's very active, so he's going to encourage your heart. And you'll know what's happening all the time, and he'd love to engage with you. At True Stewardship is Chris's Twitter handle, at True Stewardship. It's a very impressive handle, by the way, I must say. It's very lofty. It's worthy. Mine's just my name. I couldn't come up with anything better. And every time I talk about your Twitter handle, I feel like, you know, maybe I should have a higher... Maybe Bob, the producer, and I can come up with a better handle for me. But anyway, I love your Twitter handle.
I like yours, too.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's not very creative, but it's functional. Hey, speaking of somebody who understands discipleship, period, certainly a stewardship focus, not just around finances, but leadership, is our friend Craig Rochelle,
yes,
who is our feature conversation. Just as a guy who has been at the highest level of a church staff, and you have traveled and you still travel and you consult every day with pastors from all different sized churches, what does a guy like Craig Rochelle mean to Chris Brown?
He has inspired me for years, from innovation to life balance to good decision making to strategy to being able to lead a team well, to be able to lead through others well, to be able to keep really good leaders on his team. That's probably one of the bigger ones, and we definitely want to talk to him about that today. Mm-hmm. But he's just a fascinating leader, and he's got campuses in like 7 different states, 22 campuses, and he's handling it well. And then, of course, he's a great author too, mm-hmm, and he's been coaching me through his books for years. So I'm very excited about the conversation.
Glad you mentioned that. His new book is From This Day Forward, and you can get that wherever books are sold. So without any further ado, Chris, let's get to it. This is our conversation with Craig Rochelle.
Well, Pastor Craig, again, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
You bet.
Last episode, we talked with Dave Ramsey about this idea of stewarding our influence well. And here we are today. We're going to dive a little bit further. You've got tremendous influence in the church world. We admire you in so many ways, and you lead us in so many ways. I just, quite frankly, want to ask just an overall general question, is how does this shape your weekly decisions as a leader to steward your influence? And on a daily basis, what does this look like in the life of Pastor Craig Rochelle?
Well, first, Chris and Ken, I want to tell you guys thank you for letting me be on with you. I look up to you guys and everything your organization does, so I appreciate that, and you sharing your influence with me to help influence others. It's a great honor. You ask how does that impact my daily decisions, and it's interesting because more and more. I am trying to keep that in the front of my mind, and I'll be real honest with you. There's sometimes you just wake up and you think, how in the world am I going to get everything done today? And so it's more of survival or mode or just trying to execute. But the longer I live, the more I recognize that any kind of influence that we have is a gift from God. And we're really called not to try to create more of it for ourselves, but to steward what he's given us, to leverage his name and make him known. And so I'd say in my daily decisions, the biggest way that is at the front of my mind is, how do I maximize my time for the biggest kingdom return? And that doesn't necessarily mean I'm only going to say yes to a speaking engagement to a big crowd. Sometimes it means I'm going to go to the hospital and visit one person, and because that really is maximizing my time for the highest kingdom return. And so it's a real. I try to be really aware of how can I invest my time, leverage the gifts that I have in influencing others, in relationships, in empowering other people, in appreciating other people, in ministering to other people, in encouraging other leaders. How can I use my time to best create positive kingdom movement? And honestly, it's often a challenge of what do I do, what do I not do? But that's when I'm at my best, that's at the front of my mind, and I'm making decisions through that filter.
Craig, I want to ask you, kind of staying right there on this topic, just practically speaking, over time, how have you as a human learned to process this weight? I mean, this is a tremendous position that God has put you in, and it's so much bigger than you and your leadership team, and yet he's chosen you and uses you. But I think a lot of pastors out there, doesn't matter how big the church is, at times I think ministry can be very overwhelming just personally. How have you learned to manage that and deal with that?
Yeah, I think, I don't feel a whole lot more weight now than I did when I was 28 and starting the church. I understand that if I did something stupid now, probably more people would talk about it. But I think all of us as spiritual leaders need to understand we carry the name of Jesus, and that's significant, whether we have 20 people that we're leading in a small group, or 80 people in a church, or 8,000 or whatever, that we represent Jesus in all that we do. And so I think an awareness of that, at the same time recognizing that it's not all up to us, that we are still going to make mistakes at times, but if we really learn to not just say depend on the Spirit, but really learn how do we depend on God's Spirit, then Scripture's true. He gives us the strength we need when we are weak. And I think if anything, as I have become more aware that what I might say might echo beyond what I thought it did, I've also at the same time become more aware that God is going to, he gives us what we need in the moment. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, no matter where a leader is, God is going to give them what they need to steward their influence and to make a difference. If we stay connected to the vine, if we start thinking I can do this on my own, that's when we get in a lot of trouble. And that's, those are the times in my life where I've ended up veering off the path and doing, saying the wrong things or spending my time in the wrong places when I started thinking it was more about me rather than being all about him.
Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit about how this all stirred up in your spirit all the way in the beginning. When did this start? A birdie told me around here that, and this might not be where it started, but that you actually came to a Dave event back in the day. Did you do that?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. if you want to just talk pure stewardship, especially from a financial standpoint, mm-hmm. I don't know. I may have been one of Dave's first listeners anywhere. In fact, I cannot even remember not listening to him as a young adult. And so I was in my 20s and just devoured what he did. In fact, I asked him when he went on the radio, and basically, I think the first year he was on in Oklahoma City, I discovered him. He came to an event in Oklahoma City, and I broke my neck to get there, and somehow, I think we bought enough tickets to qualify to go to a meal with him. And, I got as many people as I could get to go with me. And so they said, you're invited to a dinner with Dave Ramsey. And I just pictured it's going to be me and Dave and Sharon and my wife, Amy. It was a bigger group of people. And he was so gracious. And so, you know, I really credit him often. I just sent him an email just detailed to say, my life is different. Generations will be different because of you. Our church, honestly, wouldn't be doing nearly what we're doing without his influence. And so I think one of the most valuable tools that church leaders need to learn is just, you know, a spiritual asset allocation. How do we manage the resources God has entrusted to us? And we're not trained how to do that in seminary. And we don't have a whole lot of good models. And so Dave was my mentor from afar and then up close. And when we learn to wisely, I mean, it's so biblical to wisely manage the resources he gives us, then I believe if we're faithful with a little, he'll give us more. And sometimes people say, you know, what's the secret behind the secret of all that's happening at Life Church? Well, I don't know. You know, God does what he does. But I think if you look at it from a practical standpoint, and you just try to analyze it purely from a practical or business mindset, it's putting resources into places that have the highest kingdom gain. And you know, there's a lot of strategy that goes behind that. But that's how we're able to, you know, now pay for buildings in cash before, you know, we have the money before we break ground. And that's because of the influence Dave had on me and a lot of generous people and years of building a culture, you know, of really working. Every dollar matters to God, just like every person matters. We're always going to be faithful and try to be strategic with what he gives us.
You know, you've heard Dave say a billion times, as we all have, if you live like no one else, you can give like no one else. And right. You just outlined the blessings and the teachings that Dave has shaped you with, and as a result, your church. But I also know, and I think many church leaders who are listening in know, how giving your church is. You really do give in so many ways, whether it be YouVersion or whether it just be in your community. You really are intentional about that. How has that shaped the favor and the resources, because you've always been a church that has given freely?
Well, we always weren't, to be quite honest. In the early years, we weren't as generous, and I kind of had a real change of heart, maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years into it. I think it was 2006, we had enough people wanting to buy our, starting to, you know, buy sermon messages and such, and we had a decision to make, should we sell them like most churches do and do with integrity, you know, or should we do something that to our knowledge had never been done before and just start giving it all away? And we decided it was the scariest decision ever, because at that point we didn't have much. We were in debt, significant debt at that time. We were paycheck to paycheck, basically trying to make payroll, and we decided to give the resources away. And that's when everything really started to change for us. It first changed our hearts, and then what just miraculously, the more we gave, the more we saw God bless us. And I mean, this is, I don't want to brag or anything, but we had 130,000 churches download free resources last year. And you can't help but think, okay, if God is going to, he's going to supply our needs to give like that. And the YouVersion Bible app's been the greatest thrill, perhaps, of, you know, of our 20 years of doing this, because someone from the Gideon organization gave me a Bible back when I was in college, and reading that Bible is where I came to Christ. And now we're able to give away, you know, literally tens of millions of YouVersion Bible apps to people around the world. And it's true, we like to say, we'll lead the way with irrational generosity, because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we're going to, if we don't have much, we're going to start giving. But I believe if we don't have much and we steward wisely what God gives us, he's going to give us more, and then we're going to give more, give more, give more, give more. And so we don't just steward resources so we can have more. We steward them so we can give more and do more. And so I love when churches, no matter what their size, say, what do we have that we can leverage for the kingdom? And every church, every organization, every leader can find something. If it's their time, if it's their building, if it's a church van, I mean, we've all got something that we can use and give to others to make a difference. And so we'll start with what we have. And then I believe as we all start, God's going to bless us in ways that we can, and empower us to do more.
Well, you'd hit on, you know, the idea of, I don't want to brag, but I just want to let you know. And there's a tension there for leaders. You want to tell folks about what God is doing. This is his principle. It's being lived out, and here are the results. And so there's this tension between bragging and modeling. And mm-hmm. what you're doing for all of us now is modeling this, where you're obviously modeling that as a leadership team, and it's translated into the culture of your church. Mm-hmm. When did they get it? And what are some things, some very practical, intentional, strategic things that you do, either from the platform or through written collateral or the website or you name it, that has taken that culture of generosity and translated that into the pew?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you know, if it's not in the leader's heart and leader's life, it's not going to work. And so no matter what the value is, you know, if I'm not evangelistic and I want to try to create an evangelistic culture, it's not going to work. And so generosity, I believe, I always tell pastors, it has to start in your own personal life, in the things that nobody sees and nobody knows but you and God. And, you know, maybe the person who's receiving it, maybe you give anonymously, but you don't do it for show. You do it because it's right. So it starts in your heart. And then, if you want it to be if you want your people to be generous, it really should be a top value. If you've got your core values and generosity is not one of them, why are you going to expect your people to be generous? And so I believe sometimes pastors think, well, you know, our people aren't generous. They won't give. And that's just not fair. What we should do is say, we have not led them to give. We take responsibility. We create the culture. We set the mood and the tone. And so what we're going to do is we're going to model it in our own lives. Then we're going to model it as a church before we ask the people to model it. And then suddenly they start to see it and believe it, and they're going to be massively generous. And what we have to have an abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset. And I was raised totally and completely with a scarcity mindset, which is, if I give, then I'm not going to have much left. But instead, we have to say, if we give, we're giving what already belonged to God, and God is the one who gave it to us in the first place, and we're going to trust God to give us more. And so you preach on it, you live it, you model it, you steward it, you preach on it more, you live it, and over time, and it took really several years before our church embraced it, but now, man, they celebrate it everywhere. It's, you know, our church gave away 180 million Bible apps, and our church gives away free resources, and we will lead the way with irrational generosity. So, you know, over time, it's just any principle, any value that we want to drive into the culture, we have to model, we have to show it, lead it, live it, and over time, we lead people to the right result. And if our church doesn't do it, it's not because they're bad or stupid or whatever, it's because we have not led them to do it.
Mm. Well, what a challenge. Well, I just, for me personally, I want to just tell you, I appreciate you for modeling that for me in my life. And one of the other things that you've modeled for me in my life, and I'm sure several other listeners right now, is how you've stewarded the life balance part of all this. You know, you're leading a very large church. You've got six children. You've got a thriving marriage. You've written several books. You're speaking at conferences all over the world, not just in the United States. You're planting campuses remotely, which is a huge challenge. How are you, and I'm going to say, how are you and Amy both stewarding all of that together? Mm-hmm. What are some nuggets you can give us? Because we really look up to you when it comes to that as well.
Well, thank you. You know, I've struggled with being a workaholic, and so in the early years of the church, what's amazing is that we're doing more now, but we actually have more margin in our time and our marriage. Literally, you know, the last 15 years has been better than it was the first five. And so I had to go to counseling for this, two different rounds, and my counselor basically said, you know, the reason you work so much is you have two problems. One is pride, because you think you're always necessary, and two is you're just not a good leader. You're not willing to give it away or raise other good leaders up. Mm-hmm. And so that was the right kind of challenge for me, because it wasn't soft, it was in my face. And so really I took that to heart and recognized that he was right. I had too much pride. I thought I was always necessary for everything, and then I wasn't raising up the right leaders. And so now, you can do a lot and still have margin if you're giving a lot away. And I think the thing I've learned to do, probably the biggest area of growth that I've had, is just empowering the right people to do the right things. And sometimes people say, you know, how do you keep like a Bobby Grunewald on your staff? He created the Bible app. He's all these kind of things. Why didn't he leave and go make a lot of money everywhere else? Well, one of the reasons is because I give him, he has free reign to create, to do, to promote, to run, to soar. And I don't need to take credit for the Bible app. It wasn't my idea. He gets credit for the Bible app. He created it. And therefore, he can create more. He's earned the right. And by giving so much away, I can go home at 5:15 tonight and have dinner with my family and take tomorrow off, you know, sleep in and play all day with my kids. And you don't have to do more to have more influence. You often do less and do the right things. So, you know, we're very blessed right now to both Amy and I to focus on the few small areas that we have the highest return, and we really worked hard to get to those areas. And you know, honestly, I'm home 5 nights a week, 6 nights a week most of the time. I rarely ever miss my day off now. I mean, I protect it like crazy. We set boundaries ahead of time. I only take 12 nights away from the family a year. That's so, you know, I said that early on, and live with it. If my family's with me, I don't count it. If they're not with me, you know, and I'm out spending time with Dave, that's one night away from the family, and that's one of my 12. And so by setting parameters up front and setting some limitations, it really it helps us to make good and strategic decisions all year long.
Craig, one of the things I want to ask you is with the multi-sites, mm-hmm. and even to someone who doesn't have a multi-site church, I think there's some great practical wisdom we could get from you here. And specifically, how do you keep the culture that you want to have alive within your staff, from the leaders mm-hmm. all the way down? What do you do intentionally to keep that culture fresh and growing?
That's a great question, because early on when we started this, that was like the hardest thing to do, and it felt like almost a losing battle. And so we recognized that's one of the most important things that we need to do is to guard the culture with everything in us. Somebody said vision leaks, and then I added and culture drifts. So if you're not consistently casting vision, it leaks and people forget why we're doing what we're doing, and culture drifts. I mean, so quickly, you go a couple of weeks without talking about values, direction, and people are going to drift. And so we just do it all the time. I walked upstairs from a meeting that was just an hour and a half long. We had our 250 central staff members there, had lunch, and we told stories for an hour and a half. We cried, we laughed, we celebrated. The theme was God is faithful. We showed pictures of staff members who've been there for a long time. An hour and a half, basically, we were creating culture. We do that with every team member when they come in. Whenever all the youth pastors come in, all the key leaders, we go in and we meet with them. We tell stories. We celebrate. We create values. All the host team pastors, all the worship leaders, whenever, you know, it's the top of the list of what we're trying to do is share values over and over and over again. One of the best ways to do it is through stories, celebrating all through the church what's happening. And, you know, there's no way to do it but making it the top of your priorities. And every time you get groups together, you have to drive the culture deep, or it'll drift so fast and you'll have an ineffective multi-site in 3 months if you're not driving culture.
That is so good. And obviously, casting vision and repeating that and making sure that vision's not leaking has changed from, obviously, you founded Life Church, way back in the day. We won't say how far back, but
almost 20 years ago.
There you go. How has that changed? Because now, you know, obviously there's a fear of a copy of a copy of a copy. You want them to get direct access straight from your lips. How does vision casting and keeping that culture so fresh. How has that changed? And now you're at, you know, 22 campuses and in several different states. I know you talked about that, you know, these big meetings occasionally, but how has that, how's that changed in just a weekly operations?
Well, I want people to, I don't want them to hear it just from me. And so, I want them to hear it from everyone all the time. So every, I tend to pour into the leaders most. You see, I will only be with my whole staff probably 4 or 5 times a year. And so they're, they're not hearing it from me in person that often. And even those 4 or 5 times a year, a lot of times it's on video. And so, how has it changed? I try to communicate a lot via video, short videos, 3 or 4 minutes with the whole staff to let them know things are important. We do a lot of live kind of web events where there's chat. There's one with all the worship team, teams for people that happened a couple of nights ago. And so there's online chat so they can talk and ask questions. And we do that from video. That works a lot better than email because you can see facial expressions. So email's at the kind of at the bottom of the list, the way that we like to communicate information. Meetings that are planning meetings often are people check out on, but meetings where they're contributing or telling stories seem to create a lot of life. And so we just have to do a lot of celebration with people. And then, I absolutely and completely want them hearing it from people besides me. If they only hear it from me, then I'm really not doing my job. And so I try to communicate and infuse values into all of the leaders and then ask them to do the same things. And if the people who are attending the church cannot say what we're about, then we're not doing a good job. And we have to drive it deeper, deeper, deeper all the time.
Craig, I've asked you this question a few times, but it's one of my favorites, so I'll ask it again. I would love for you to share with us something that you are learning right now, something you're being challenged by, somewhere where you're growing.
One of the things I'm learning to do is initiate rather than respond. And what happens is basically the way my schedule set up, Mondays, Tuesdays, and half of Wednesday, I'm kind of off limits. And Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday afternoon and all day Thursday, I'm responding to every request I have, which is, there are quite a few. Would you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this video for us? Can you meet with this person? Blah, blah, blah. And what ends up happening is there's no time for me to go and initiate the meetings that I actually want to, let me go meet with a bunch of 20-year-olds and ask them questions. Let me meet with some of our youth pastors and find out what they're learning. And so what I'm doing is instead of taking a full day and a half and responding to what everybody else is asking me to do, I've taken a half a day somewhere in there and say, I'm going to initiate meetings that I normally didn't have time to do. And so rather than just responding to what everyone else is asking, I'm taking another half a day and saying that's the time to initiate meetings and conversations that I wasn't getting to have because I was too busy responding to what everybody else wanted.
Well, Craig, it's always a treat to talk with you, and you encourage us. We know your time is valuable, and spending time with us and this audience, I know that we all will be better for it.
You guys are way too kind. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you, brother. Have a great day. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Craig Rochelle. What a phenomenal leader he is, and I can tell you, after having gotten to know the man pretty well, he is the real deal. And I think that is so rewarding to see somebody who's leading well and living well. And so I want to ask you, Chris, as you were conducting the interview with me, but also listening in, what'd you take away from that conversation?
Of course, it was just chock full of tons of brilliance. And, for me, the biggest one was the generosity piece, that it starts at the top. It starts with modeling. And so many times I have been in that frustrating point, you're there in a leadership meeting midweek and you're frustrated that the congregation hasn't responded the way they do. And a good thing for us to do is to look internally. How are we modeling this in our personal life? How are we modeling this as a church with our leadership, with our budget? And so that was really, really good to hear because that's a principle that he's had before he was big. Mm-hmm. It's not now that he can because he's got so much income coming in or so much revenue or tithes coming in. No, that's the way back in the day that he was starting that. So
yeah,
that
he
was
mentioned a big one. He said, 7, 8 years in, Ken, we made this decision.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's really, really exciting to hear that you can course correct.
Yes. And, the cart before the horse kind of deal. That is why he has the resources that he does now, and not vice versa. And then I also saw just a sense of humility that he was willing to openly admit when he got it wrong. That's just something that all of us need to probably work on. And then I love the piece of being able to hold key staff. He'd mentioned Bobby. And I think many of us that know Bobby have probably thought that from time to time. This guy is a genius. And how in the world is Craig keeping him on staff? And that whole piece of just, you know, holding them lightly and just giving them a spot where they can create. And obviously things like YouVersion can pop out of it. So that was really cool.
That is a great observation. In the studio, Chris just kind of took a fist. You didn't see this at home, but I this was great. And you opened up that fist. And isn't that true? When we hold things that God blesses us with lightly, including key staff that make us look very good and help us lead well. You know what? Freedom.
Yeah.
The word he used with Bobby Grunewald was freedom. I give him the freedom to create. He's earned it.
Yep.
That was powerful.
No, for sure. And then the whole piece about vision casting, how it looks different in different seasons, in different stages of development, how it doesn't have to revolve on him. It doesn't have to come straight from his lips. And I think that's big for us to empower our leaders to be able to cast that vision on behalf of the church. Just really good stuff for us to implement.
Well, folks, we appreciate Craig so much, and we want to make sure that you can connect with him in many areas. Let's first remind you again about the book. His latest book is From This Day Forward. Make sure you check that out. Connect with him on Twitter, at Craig Groeschel. Now, for those of you who aren't hooked on phonics like my pal Chris Brown, that last name is Groeschel. And, of course, he's on Facebook. Just search Craig Groeschel, facebook.com/Craig Groeschel. The website of their church, lifechurch.tv. And Craig really is a friend to pastors, and we're always grateful when folks like him will take time out with us. Folks, we exist to serve you, to help you do what you do best, and remember, a tremendous resource that is built entirely with you in mind is stewardshipcentral.org. You can get so many great resources there, learn about Momentum. You can see Chris's blog post and so many more things. And Chris, here we are, two down, many more to go. It has been an absolute joy to be with you.
It has been a tremendous pleasure, and we're excited about all these things that people are grabbing from this resource.
All right, folks, that's going to do it. On behalf of our producer, Bob Borquez, my colleague, Chris Brown, and the entire Stewardship Central team, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk with you again very soon.